What if the people we dismiss as troublemakers are actually our best hope for progress? In 1854, Elizabeth Jennings boarded a New York City streetcar and refused to leave when ordered off because of her race. The confrontation turned violent. She was physically thrown from the vehicle and injured. Most would have accepted this injustice as unchangeable reality. Instead, Jennings sued, won her case with help from a young lawyer named Chester Arthur, yes, the future U.S. president, and changed transportation policy to give Black people equal access. Her forgotten act of defiance illustrates a profound truth. The rebels we resist today often become the heroes we celebrate tomorrow. Yet we continue punishing nonconformists even when they're demonstrably correct. Consider NBA players who sacrifice millions in earnings rather than shoot free throws underhand, a technique proven to work. Rick Barry achieved a 90% success rate using the granny shot, yet players reject it because it looks sissy. Even Will Chamberlain abandoned the method that improved his percentage from 38% to 61% because he felt silly. We're so terrified of social judgment that we'll sabotage our own success to avoid standing out. Why do we defend systems that harm us? After Trump disparaged Mexican immigrants, over a quarter of Hispanic Americans agreed with him. A third of Black Americans report experiencing no worse treatment from the criminal justice system, despite overwhelming evidence of discrimination. This isn't stupidity, it's psychology. Four forces fuel our compliance. Familiar systems feel reassuring even when oppressive. External threats make us rally around existing leadership. Bush's approval rating rocketed from 51% to 90% after 9/11. We form dependent relationships with hierarchies that meet basic needs, and hope makes us tolerate present suffering when we glimpse future progress. These conformity boosters operate beneath conscious awareness, making us defend the very structures constraining us. We exact a novelty penalty on unorthodox thinkers, punishing them for disrupting our psychological comfort. Yet principled rebels remain critically important. Medical errors kill thousands annually. Educational systems fail countless students. The solution isn't more conformity, it's actively recruiting diverse perspectives that generate counterintuitive solutions. Witnessing rebellion fundamentally changes us. Dr. Charlin Nemeth discovered that observing someone challenge group consensus made participants dramatically more willing to voice dissent later, 76% versus 30%. Dissent creates psychological safety, but there's a crucial caveat. Google's Project Aristotle found those perspectives must actually influence others to produce superior results. When experts from diverse backgrounds tackled mass shootings together, they generated creative approaches, like using fire extinguishers as smoke screens rather than simply arming teachers. Children comfortable being a minority of one grow into adults with greater creative accomplishments, publishing books, building profitable businesses, exerting broader influence. Teams with even one trained insubordinate produce more original ideas. The magic number for transformation? Research shows it takes about 25% of a group supporting a minority position to shift collective beliefs. Lone rebels rarely succeed. They need allies. Great ideas die when presented badly. Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis discovered in 1847 that hand washing prevented maternal deaths. Yet his aggressive attacks on skeptics triggered defensiveness, delaying acceptance for nearly a century. Contrast this with Fugazi, the punk band that charged only $5 for concerts and refused million-dollar deals, yet sold over 3 million records by living their values without judgment. Rebels gain influence when audiences view them as in-group members. Establish common bonds first, earning idiosyncrasy credits, cultural capital you spend when proposing innovative ideas. Frame your message as objective and verifiable rather than subjective opinion. Research shows minority viewpoints gain more traction when based on hard data. The psychological toll of rebellion becomes an asset. Visible discomfort combined with courage proves compelling. When dissenters face ridicule but persist, respect follows. The single best predictor of successful influence? Consistent messaging over time. This requires flexible consistency, stubbornly clinging to important positions while bending on less critical matters. People overestimate hill steepness dramatically, judging a 10-degree incline as 30 degrees. But a trusted friend's presence reduces perceived steepness by 13% and requires less energy to climb. Our brains interpret allies as extra resources, conserving mental energy when facing challenges. When seeking allies, ignore wealth or power. Find people who enhance your intellectual or emotional capabilities, those who expand your thinking or stretch your sense of self. Great minds don't think alike. Great alliances think differently. Building strong bonds requires confronting challenges together. We're hardwired to connect through pain. The same brain regions activate when we feel pain as when our friends do. Vulnerability precedes trust rather than following it. Effective teams balance belonging and uniqueness, help allies feel they belong while also helping them feel distinct and valuable. The 1968 interracial peace between Captain Kirk and Lieutenant Uhura demonstrates how allies embolden us. William Shatner had friends and producer Gene Roddenberry supporting him, while Nichelle Nichols received encouragement from Martin Luther King Jr., who told her she changed the face of television forever, helping her persist despite pressure to leave. Martha Goddard developed standardized rape kits in the 1970s after hearing heartbreaking accounts from homeless teenagers about dismissive police and insensitive hospital staff. Despite her kits becoming a powerful new weapon in the conviction of rapists, authorities questioned her authority. To withstand such distress, cultivate psychological flexibility through four steps. Reconnect with your purpose, face uncomfortable emotions, examine coping strategies, and recommit to meaningful action. Goddard endured opposition by remembering her purpose. "I got into fighting sexual abuse because I was sick of seeing women, especially children, go through all of that pain." Next, face arising emotions: shock, worry, fear, guilt, frustration, doubt. Research shows emotion labeling particularly helps. People skilled at precisely identifying feelings consume 40% less alcohol during stress and handle rejection better. Try cognitive diffusion to create mental space between yourself and thoughts. Write distressing thoughts down or say them aloud for 30 to 60 seconds. Studies show this makes them less important, less distressing, less believable. Finally, recommit by noticing what's already bringing satisfaction despite challenges. Frame personal strivings that capture what you're trying to accomplish, beginning with, "I am trying to." Evo Morales rose from extreme poverty, living in a one-room adobe house, working as a llama shepherd from age 5 after 4 siblings died in infancy, to become Bolivia's president. His journey from grassroots coca legalization activist illustrates rebellion's final challenge: winning responsibly. Research reveals a troubling pattern. Former minorities who gain power often harbor grudges and want to abandon their group rather than celebrate victory. Former majorities who lose power refuse aid, take advantage when possible, and expect hostility. This creates a rebel's nightmare, where victors become defensive and distracted from their goals. Maximilian Robespierre exemplifies this betrayal. As a judge, he opposed atrocious penalties, yet during the Reign of Terror declared, "We must exterminate all our enemies." Research shows victorious rebels immediately create rules favoring their in-group, driven by fear of losing hard-won status. As historically oppressed groups gain unprecedented power, difficult questions emerge. What is the endgame of fighting oppression? Will newly empowered groups avoid replicating the same repressive behaviors? Your revolution means nothing if you simply become the next tyrant.